Hello, and welcome to the best podcast in the Valley for 2020, as voted on by the readers of Phoenix Magazine. You've downloaded another stellar episode of Mack Watson Talks. On this episode, the president is impeached a second time. More people have been arrested for overrunning the Capitol. How does a car end up in the middle of a bank? And Trump's legacy will be more complicated than you think. We'll go over that and a whole lot more. That's just some of the stuff we'll talk about on episode 113.
You're listening to Mack Watson Talks, Season 2. Voted best podcast in the Valley for 2020 by the readers of Phoenix Magazine.
Obviously, the big news this week is the House impeached President Trump for inciting a violent insurrection against the United States government as 10 members of the president's own party joined Democrats to charge him with high crimes and misdemeanors for an unprecedented second time.
Not the second time for the same charges, but the second impeachment during his term of office.
Reconvening under the threat of continued violence and the protection of thousands of National Guard troops, the House was determined to hold Trump accountable just 1 week before he was to leave office. At issue was his role in encouraging a mob that attacked the Capitol 1 week ago while Congress met to affirm President-elect Joe Biden Jr.'s victory, forcing lawmakers to flee for their lives in a deadly rampage.
Just moments before they overtook the Capitol, he tweeted, "Fight like hell."
And people took that as a literal meaning, and they looked like they were going to fight. If you ask some House of Representatives or ask some people in Congress, they were scared for their lives, they said. They had no idea what was going to happen.
I know that Nancy Pelosi said that it was her young staffers that knew to barricade the doors and hide under their desks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because older people have never had to do those kind of drills like young people have based on having school shootings and those types of other violent events that have taken place in schools in recent years.
The House adopted a single article of impeachment, voting 232 to 197 to charge Mr. Trump with inciting violence against the government of the United States and requesting his immediate removal from office and disqualification from ever holding one again.
But now it's up to the Senate because they hold the trial.
That's right. And the trial will happen, I think, the day before before the inauguration, if I'm not mistaken.
If Mitch McConnell chooses to let it happen, because he sets the schedule as the Senate Majority Leader.
Right.
The number three in the Senate, which is Liz Cheney, who is a Republican from the state of Wyoming.
Dick Cheney's daughter.
Mm-hmm. She's saying she wants the trial to go forward and that she will vote to convict. Wow. If it goes forward to trial, there are some Republicans in Congress, in Senate, that are willing to vote on the conviction on the articles of impeachment.
So there's a likelihood that they are going to go to trial with this, even though he'll be removed from office. He won't be in office January 20th. They will still go ahead with the trial, right?
No, if it's scheduled for January 20th, there's no reason to go forward with the trial. I don't think at that point.
Well, I thought it was January 19th it was scheduled for.
Well, I mean, if they did it January 19th, then yes, if they could get the trial done in 1 day.
I see. Okay. And earlier, in an earlier podcast, I said that the president would lose a bunch of stuff, including Secret Service protection. That is not true. For those wondering if impeachment means losing stuff, could he lose his $200,000+ pension for the rest of his life, lose his $1 million a year travel allowance, lose his lifetime full security service detail, loses his ability to run in 2024? The answer to that is yes, he loses his ability to run in 2024. No, he does not lose his lifetime full Secret Service detail. That was a tweet that went out last week and is erroneous.
But he would lose the use of Air Force Two, which
yes.
is what past presidents are allowed to use for travel.
And his travel expenses. Yes, mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. So, you know, either way, the president has lost. Either way, whether there's a trial or not, he's lost.
It's a blemish on his
record. Oh, yeah.
And I just think that at this point, 2024 is whether he's banned from doing it or whether the Republicans simply don't choose him at their convention.
I would assume not. So Trump has now been told by people who, I guess, specialize in doing damage control, if you don't figure out a way to do something good in the next couple of days, you're going to be O.J. Simpson.
Right. He's going to still be held liable for civil damages and other things. Like, he won't ever regain the place in history and society that he held before. And we've already seen that to be true of Ivanka and her husband, who they're not being welcomed back into the social circles of New York. It's probably part of the reason why Melania and Donald are moving to Florida, also to avoid some of the charges that are going forward there for criminal charges. But
yeah, let's talk about what you just said, though. It's one thing to be charged and impeached. It's another to be held with civil damages. He may be held for civil damages, much like O.J. Simpson wasn't convicted of murder. He was held to civil standards
for wrongful.
He was basically made penniless because of a civil suit, right?
Right. The standard of proof in a civil case is not beyond a reasonable doubt, which is what happens when you're being convicted of a crime. It's just proving something by the preponderance of the evidence, which, I mean, by the preponderance of the evidence, that would have made him guilty. But
right.
That's not what the standard is in criminal court. But in civil court, in terms of having to remunerate the families for their losses, he was definitely found to be responsible for their deaths.
And you're talking about O.J. Simpson.
Right.
Yeah. Donald Trump could be held for liable for basically damaging the Capitol.
Right.
In the civil suit. So
he could be. By the government. The government could bring a suit to.
God, that would be amazing.
To recoup those damages to the Capitol building, which they were extensive.
Yeah, that's true. The smashing of doors, smashing of windows, some people even said there were items stolen from the Capitol, too.
Well, people took pieces of mail from Nancy Pelosi's office to prove that they had been in there.
Right, right. So, I mean, it just would be incredible if the president
which is a federal crime to steal people's mail.
Just incredible if the federal government decided to go after a former president for civil damages. That would just blow my mind.
But it's not outside the realm of reason, particularly if he is impeached, that they make sure that to cripple him financially, too. He really has just used his position and his money to do whatever he wants. And that's not how this country, we don't allow
right.
people to do that.
Right.
That's not how this country operates. This is not a country where, you know, you're the lord of your of some kind of, you know, kingdom,
yeah, fiefdom,
where you get to just take, and give nothing in return. That's not what it's about.
Let's talk about some of the people who participated in the siege on the Capitol.
Right. We talked about Jake and Jelly.
Yeah, he was from Arizona. He is supposedly in jail now, eating organic food.
He faces some additional charges. The indictment that was unsealed on Tuesday in Washington charges him with civil disorder, obstruction of an official proceeding, disorderly conduct in a restricted building, and demonstrating in the Capitol building. So those are additional charges to the ones he was previously charged with, which were entering a restricted building without lawful authority and violent entry and disorderly conduct on the Capitol grounds. So those are the additional charges that he will be facing now.
Also, the image of a man wearing a black hoodie with the words Camp Auschwitz emblazoned in white letters.
Hard to believe that even is
exists,
thing.
Yeah. Inside the U.S. Capitol, he was arrested. His name is Robert Packer of Newport News, Virginia, and he has a lengthy criminal record in Newport News and has been arrested in Newport News well over a dozen times, according to the Newport News sheriff. Previous offenses, including assault and battery, driving under the influence, drunk in public, driving under revocation, whatever that means. He was jailed last in the county in 2012.
And I think that's second to the Jake and Jelly who had the horned furred hoodie thing or hat on was the man who was carrying the Confederate flag. That's probably the most memorable,
striking image.
Searing image, although the Camp Auschwitz guy has no excuse. But that man, his name is Kevin Seafried. He carried the Confederate battle flag into the Capitol along with his son, Hunter, and they were both arraigned this week in Washington, D.C.
Now, what were they charged with?
So they were charged, among other things, in connection with the riot. So Kevin was carrying the flag that he later told authorities was his. It hangs outside of his house in Delaware normally. His son had helped break out a window and take the glass out, and then they all climbed through that window. And they admitted to their part in that in a voluntary interview with the FBI, not apparently the smartest people in the world.
Right.
They turned themselves over to authorities in Wilmington, according to the FBI's field office in Baltimore. Okay, so they'll both be charged with one count of knowingly entering and remaining in a restricted building grounds without lawful entry, one count of violent entry and disorderly conduct, and one count of depredation of government property. That's for breaking out that window. And the reason why they actually had gloves on and were prepared to be able to take that broken glass out of the frame so that they could climb through that window. And they bragged about it on social media afterwards. Right. I mean, I think that that's
stupid.
That's you're admitting you're part in it and you thought you were going to get away with it. Because why? Because your leader has gotten away with bragging about things for so long.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see that. There's other people been charged too as well, right?
Yeah. A rioter who was standing next to Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt when she was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer was arrested by the FBI. Also, New Jersey resident Thomas Baranyi appeared briefly in Newark federal court. His bail was set at $100,000. His televised interview during which he showed a reporter blood on his hand after he stormed the Capitol. You know, I mean, just stupid stuff. Baranyi explained that he got the blood on his hands after storming into the Capitol and a young lady rushed through the windows. A number of police and Secret Service were saying, get down, get out of the way. She didn't heed the call as we kind of raced up to try to grab people and pull them back. They shot her in the neck and she fell back on me, Baranyi said in the interview. William Pepe, who works for the Metro North, was recognized by colleagues and MTA management from photos of him wearing an American flag bandana that were circulated from inside the U.S. Capitol building. He was charged with one count of knowingly entering or remaining in any restricted buildings or grounds without lawful authority. He was released on $10,000 bond.
There were two police officers that have been arrested and charged. They're from Rocky Mount, Virginia. They participated in the riot. Their names are Thomas Robertson and Jacob Fracker. They posted a photo of themselves with their middle fingers up in front of the statue of a Revolutionary War hero, John Stark. And after posting the photo, they repeatedly defended attending the riots and in their social media posts and were quoted as saying they were proud because they were willing to put skin in the game.
Okay, so later Fracker deleted a Facebook post in which he wrote, LOL to anyone who's possibly concerned about the picture of me going around. Sorry, I hate freedom, ? Not like I did anything illegal. Y'all do what you feel you need to do. Okay, well, they arrested you for it.
They did, and they've been charged with unlawful entry. They've been told that they may not have any firearms in their possession, and they've been put on administrative leave from their jobs with law enforcement. And that's part of what happens when you're charged with a federal crime like this. You are going to lose your right to bear arms.
Josiah Colt, the man seen hanging off the Senate balcony and sitting in Vice President Mike Pence's chair, he surrendered to authorities this week. He was charged with knowingly entering and remaining in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority and violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. He's being held in Boise, Idaho.
Well, and, you know, I think the last podcast we talked about how there was an American Airlines pilot that threatened to land a plane in Kansas because they were being so rowdy on the flight. But what we've learned since then is that airlines actually have a no-fly list that doesn't have anything to do with terrorism in the sense of the federal no-fly list, right? This has to do with airlines having their own individual no-fly list of people who have flaunted the mask mandates and who have caused trouble since the beginning of this pandemic on flights,
that's right,
including these flights to Trump rallies and to the destructive riot that happened in the Capitol last week. In those lists, there's a cumulative of 2,700 people that since the beginning of the pandemic in 2020 who have been put on individual airlines no-fly lists.
And were some of these people at the Capitol? Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Some of them were at the Capitol. So
wow, so they couldn't fly home. They couldn't fly home, and I think they couldn't even rent a car, one person said.
So in total, those numbers include 2,700 people. Some of the biggies, American has declined to disclose how many they have. Delta has more than 700 people. Frontier has more than 500 people. JetBlue has 144. Spirit has 432. Southwest declined to disclose. And United has 615.
Wow.
And a lot of those were just added in the last week.
Because of the Capitol break-in, right?
And because of their disruptions, including disruptions in the Utah airport where people were coming to demonstrate against Mitt Romney. And But they're just saying, look, as an airline, as a company, we're recognizing this person. So it also comes from flight attendants who make reports about about unruly passengers. You know, Alaska Airlines confirmed that just in this last week, they banned 32 more people, and United said they banned 60 additional people just in the last week.
And it's because of the masks, wearing masks on planes?
And for inciting violence, harassing flight attendants, not listening to crew instructions, like quit chanting USA while we're trying to do the flight instructions, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. So, I don't know what's wrong with people. It's unbelievable.
There's starting to be some real consequences otherwise, because private business doesn't have to let you have quote unquote freedom of speech. If you're on their in their property flying in the air, they get to choose to tell you what to do. They can't tell you to take your clothes off, and they can't tell you to kill somebody, but they can tell you to shut up and sit down and put a mask on. That's totally okay. That holds up in court.
Yeah,
and if you don't,
they're
going to ban you. Yeah. And if you give them a bunch of grief before you do it, they're going to ban you. And then you're not going to be able to travel. It's much harder to travel from Seattle to D.C. if you can't go on a plane.
That is true. It's much harder to get from D.C. back to Seattle when you can't fly either. And you're not allowed to rent a car. So I don't know what these people are going to do.
I guess they'll have to ride the Greyhound with the, the unwashed.
Oh, I wonder. I wonder if they're allowed to ride buses, because Greyhound could also put them on a no ride
now,
list, right?
The airlines aren't necessarily sharing those lists with each other.
Oh,
so
I
they're
see.
Not violating people's privacy or sharing those lists and blackballing people. So there's no kind of lawsuit there. So if Greyhound hasn't as experienced with these people, then they wouldn't have access to those names, and they would probably let them ride on a Greyhound. Yeah.
So next week, the president-elect Joe Biden will be sworn in. Guess who is going to attend?
Nobody. No. It's virtual.
No, not the president. He's not going to be there.
Although
First Lady isn't going to be there either.
He did extend the invitation, and the Bidens accepted to stay in the presidential guest quarters, which is a huge house, the Blair House, across the street from the White House, bigger than the White House, and they accepted the invitation to stay there.
Our own Governor Doug Ducey announced that he will travel to D.C. next week to attend the inauguration ceremony for President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris.
It's a much smaller, it'll be smaller than even Trump's, which was the smallest by far.
Oh, geez.
Not to put any kind of double meaning on there, but he complained about not having people there and that the press wasn't showing the true pictures of how many people were there. But Biden, by design, does not want to have a lot of people there. He doesn't want it to be a super spreader event. Everybody who attends has to wear a mask.
But should Ducey go?
Yeah, he should. I
mean,
he's been invited. He was invited. Well, he was invited because he's the governor of our state, and all states are being invited to send their representative, the governor or lieutenant governor or whatever of their state, to attend the inauguration. And to decline it would be, I think it would be rude. I mean, this is one of those kind of public functions that we expect our governor to do, is to attend, you know, events that represent our state.
Now,
and why shouldn't Arizona be represented at the inauguration, especially since the guest list has been cold to almost nothing because they're trying to keep it from being a super spreader event.
Ducey explained in a series of tweets he was honored to represent Arizona at President Donald Trump's inauguration in 2017, and he's honored to do the same thing as Biden as he is sworn in as president. Ducey is playing this the right way.
Oh,
Ducey
absolutely.
Ducey is not making himself look bad.
Don't be childish.
Right. He's not childish. In fact, he knows that he's going to have to deal with President-elect Biden as president the next 4 years. So why wouldn't you go if you were elected?
Right.
So why not go? Why wouldn't you go?
Well,
but there are people who think, you know what? Doug Ducey's a traitor. Doug Ducey, you know, screwed Donald Trump in the end by not, you know, verifying Arizona's election, all this kind of stuff. I'm sorry. Doug Ducey's doing what's best for Doug Ducey now.
Well, and also he's doing what is expected of his office as the governor of Arizona. The expectation is that the governor of Arizona will accept those invitations to events like this to represent the state of Arizona.
Yes.
And show that Arizona indeed did elect Biden. We're not even a state that our electoral votes went to the other candidate. Our votes went to Biden, and we expect our governor to go and be at his inauguration.
Right. So, I mean, for people who are thinking that, why would Doug Ducey go there? It's for Doug Ducey. Remember, it's all part of the plan.
And it's also for Arizona. I mean, he does have an obligation to the state of Arizona. His next 2 years could be so much worse as if people turn against him. Even the Republicans in Arizona understand that Biden was elected. Not all the Republicans, but they
don't want to accept it.
They have an expectation that the government has to work. And the way it works is that even if we're not on the same side, you know, even, you know, it's like that thing that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, of her relationship with Antonin Scalia is that even, you know, good people have bad ideas. Like, you hate the idea, love the person. And in the end, you may not agree with their ideology, but you have to admit that they have been duly elected to the office of the president of the United States.
So good for Doug Ducey. Good for him.
Good for Arizona.
And good for Arizona as well. And hopefully the relationship between he and Joe Biden is, you know, very good and prosperous. And even though they're not on the same political page, maybe this is a good thing.
I think it is a good thing.
All right. That's just some of the news this week. Thanks, Cricket.
Thank you, Mac.
You're listening to Mac Watson Talks, Season 2. Voted best podcast in the Valley for 2020 by the readers of Phoenix Magazine.
Have you joined Mac Watson Talks on Patreon yet? You haven't? You're missing out on great stuff like this.
You know, I've heard her talk about you many times, and she says, Cricket's the only person who's ever loved me.
Wow.
And
wow,
that broke my heart, because not like her husband loved her or her parents loved her or her siblings loved her. She never felt those things. She never felt like she was loved. You could say you loved her, but that doesn't mean that she felt like you loved her.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I said I loved her all that often, but she felt loved.
I know that you said it, you would say it on phone calls sometimes. Yeah, love you, sweetie. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you'd hang up.
But I didn't say it like trying to convince her that I loved her.
Yeah.
But she felt loved. And to tell the nurse that I was the only person who ever loved her really broke my heart, because there were a lot more people who she should have felt loved by, starting with my grandparents.
Oh, yeah. So go to Patreon, patreon.com/MacWatsonTalks. Join today and get exclusive content you're not going to get anywhere else. That's Patreon, patreon.com. Time for the Smackdown. And this time I'm smacking down the president and his legacy. No, 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 not because of what happened on January 6th at the Capitol. One of the president's lesser known but profoundly damaging legacies will be the explosive rise in the national debt that occurred on his watch. The financial burden that he's inflicted on our government will wreak havoc for decades, saddling our kids and our grandkids with debt. Trump will have the worst jobs record in modern U.S. history. It's not just because of the pandemic either. The national debt has risen by almost $7.8 trillion during Trump's time in office. That's nearly twice as much as what Americans owe on student loans, car loans, credit cards, and every other type of debt other than mortgages combined, according to data from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It amounts to about $23,500 in new federal debt for every person in the country. The growth in the annual deficit under Trump ranks as the third biggest increase relative to the size of the U.S. economy of any U.S. presidential administration, according to calculations by the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. And unlike George W. Bush and Abraham Lincoln, who oversaw the larger relative increases in deficits, Trump did not launch two foreign conflicts or have to pay for a civil war. Economists agree that we needed massive deficit spending during the COVID-19 crisis to ward off an economic cataclysm, but federal finances under Trump had become dire before the pandemic. And that happened even though the economy was booming and unemployment was at an historically low level. By the Trump administration's own description, the pre-pandemic national debt level was already a crisis and a grave threat, unquote. What does it come down to? The combination of Trump's 2017 tax cuts and the lack of any serious spending restraint helped both the deficit and the debt soar. And that is the Smackdown. Out of Westboro, Massachusetts, police launched an investigation after a car barreled through a bank. Emergency crews responded to a reported crash at People's United Bank on Lyman Street. They found a car stopped inside the building with glass shattered around it. Westboro Fire Police Chief Patrick Purcell said the driver claimed that they had made a mistake behind the wheel. They indicated that they had a failure to navigate the accelerator and the brake and had accidentally struck the building. There were no reported injuries, thank goodness. Had it been a few minutes later when the business was open, they probably would have had a tragedy there. Well, it looks like a mass hole has made a mass hole. I know. I picked this story just so I could say masshole. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Okay. Until next time. Thank you for listening to Mac Watson Talks. This episode is copyrighted and may not be reproduced in whole or part without express written permission. For more information, to become a sponsor, or to schedule an upcoming appearance by Mac or Cricket or both, visit MacWatsonOnline.com. That's MacWatsonOnline.com. And you can connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you hear, share us with your friends. We love new listeners.